Listening to When in the Hour of Deepest Need. And that's the hymn we're going to be taking a look at on this Rumination Thursday, May the 24th in the year of our Lord 2016. And with us in the studio is our hymn expert, the Reverend Mark Smith.
hymn expert, huh? Is that right? No. How you doing, Tom?
Expert,
huh?
Yes. That's why I have you on with us. We get emails, you know, about people really looking forward to what we're going to say as well as what we have said. And by the way, if you can't listen to us live, then we are on archives. So you can go back and take a look at this particular program, which will be May the 24th. When in the Hour of Deepest Need, and of course, isn't this a wonderful Martin Luther hymn?
No. No, this is not. This is one of those few that he hasn't written.
Yes.
This is Catherine Wentworth.
No. She's the translator.
Okay, all right. This is Paul Eber. Paul Eber.
Yes, who died in 1569.
1569. Think of that.
Have you ever heard of him?
No, I can't say I have.
No, I mean, that was when Luther died. 1546.
46.
Yeah. So he knew Luther, and wow, that's something. The tune is by Louis Borges, 1561. So I wonder if Paul Eber was French. I don't know. He's probably German. And
oh, I would think German.
Catherine Wentworth.
Sounds German to me.
Eber. Yes. Well, it's got a great tune, and I tell you, this is one of a very fine long gospel hymn. So if you would be so kind to read the first stanza.
Sure. When in the hour of deepest need, we know not where to look for aid. When days and nights of anxious thought, no help or counsel yet have brought.
Okay, is that long gospel?
That is, when in the hour of deepest need, we know not where to look for aid. When days of night and anxious thought, no help. Yeah, that's law.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's strong law. See, this is the reason.
It's pointing us in the right direction, that's for sure, though.
No, it's not. The first stanza doesn't point us anywhere.
Well, of course.
No. The law never points anywhere.
I agree,
it only points to the fact
but there's
no help or counsel.
This is not a complete sentence. The good news follows. I mean, that ends with a comma. No help or counsel yet have brought.
Well, we're not talking about other stanzas. We're talking about the first stanza, which has to be total law.
Okay.
Law and gospel.
And thou alone best knowest.
No, that's not stanza two either.
Go ahead.
You just are really getting confused today. This is important that we talk about what the law does. The law says that there's no help, and you are going to be anxious all the time. We have a lot of listeners who are going through difficult times right now, and they're not going to get any comfort from the first stanza, because the law never comforts.
No.
If the law ever comforts, then that's not the Christian faith.
Right. There is a lot of people, though, that can understand that first. It hits home. They
Excellent.
Understand that first
yes.
Stanza.
Yes. And that first stanza is, I'm not going to say, I'm going to use the word feeling, is a feeling of a lot of people that they have great need right now. I mean, I can't believe how many people are concerned about the election coming up in November.
Oh, boy.
And then
we pray every Sunday.
Yes. I hope you pray every Sunday.
We pray every Sunday for our nation in the election process. Absolutely.
Yes.
I've got that on that's on the agenda every Sunday.
So, having heard the law, I will now go to stanza two. And you were correct. This is part of the same sentence, because at the end of stanza one, what's at the end of the word brought?
comma.
A comma. So this is the continuation that Pastor Mark Smith is talking about. Then in our comfort, this alone, that we may meet before your throne, to you, O faithful God, we cry for rescue in our misery. Now, that sure sounds like that our comfort is going to come when we meet God before the throne the day of judgment.
That's right.
Well, that's no comfort.
No,
not to me. There's no comfort here on earth?
Well, you're one of these guys that needs immediate gratification. Is that right?
No, I'm one of those guys that says God comforts us here on earth.
Yeah, but it's comforting to know that we will meet before his throne. That's a comfort right now. In spite of what I'm going through right now, I know that, hey, look, I'll be with my Jesus.
I don't feel that's much of a comfort. No.
Immediate gratification.
No. Well, here I go again. You're going to say, oh, boy.
Go ahead.
I'm going to agree with you. We're not going to meet him before the throne on Judgment Day. We meet him before the throne today.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
At
the Lord's Supper, for instance.
Anytime you pray.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. Romans 8:28. We do not know how to pray as we should. It's not Romans 8:28. It's the verse in Romans. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit, you know, takes our words. We go to the throne of God anytime we talk to him. Because who's at the right hand of God?
That's an excellent point. Who's at the right hand of God? Our dear Lord Jesus. He's our prophet, priest, and king. He is there beseeching the Ancient of Days, beseeching our Heavenly Father in our behalf.
And when do we go to the right hand of God?
We have ascended with him.
Yes. This is really Ephesians chapter 2.
Yes.
That we've not only died with him, we've not only risen with him, we also have ascended with him to the right hand of God. And the reason is very simple. One of the analogies or metaphors that God uses for the church is
his body.
The body.
Right.
Who's the head?
Christ.
And who's the body?
You
can't have a body without the head being there. So, and this is really important. Point, Wallace Schultz did an excellent job on the Good News publication put out by Concordia Mission Society. In Christ means that when you have that faith in Christ, you have the benefits and you are therefore where Christ is. This is why we don't have to pray to Mary or somebody else, because we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. So the point I want to make here is that this hymn provides comfort not because of hope that will soon occur on Judgment Day, but because of comfort that we receive right now.
That's a good insight.
Here on earth.
Good insight, Tom.
So if you'll go ahead and continue with stanza 3, please.
For you have promised, Lord, to heed your children's cries in time of need. Through him whose name alone is great, our Savior and our Advocate.
So there, verse 3 really does clarify what it means to be before your throne. What is the gospel? The law are commands. The gospel are
promises.
Yeah, excellent. And what was the fourth word you read?
Promised.
Yes.
For you have promised, Lord.
Now, this is really important. In regard to this hymn, let's say that my house is in foreclosure. So I pray to God. The comfort is not necessarily that I won't go into foreclosure. The comfort is it doesn't matter what happens, that God is going to be with me and he's going to work it out to my good. See, there's the promise you look to.
That's right. Romans 8:28.
Yes. In contrast, and unfortunately, a lot of evangelicals taught this way.
Prosperity doctrine.
That's exactly correct. Yeah. They'll say something like, well, the reason you're not getting your prayers answered, you're not obedient enough.
Yes. Or your faith isn't strong enough, or you don't have real faith.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's the worst thing you could say to somebody.
Yes, yes, yes. Because what is faith? What is the object of faith all the time? When we say, I believe, we're talking about I believe in the
promises of Christ.
Exactly. And that's the difference between law and gospel. The law has promises. Do this and you will live. But they're all what we call conditional. The promises of the gospel are
unconditional.
Yes. And that is huge.
There's no strings attached.
No strings attached. But I think what's really important for people to understand, because you and I know people who've had their house foreclosed.
Yes.
And guess what? Many of them are now living in a different place. They've sometimes got their act back together. They still may be poor, but there's a lot of help that comes from not only the church, but the government at times. So, you see, this is something we need to understand. There's nothing that's going to happen to you that God is not in charge of.
That's right. He's in complete control. I always remind my people, they talk about, the country's in bad shape.
Right.
We're so concerned about the future. God is always in control. Yes, so we are concerned about these situations here.
Yes.
And we pray fervently. And of course, we take part as good Christian citizens. But God is always in complete control, no matter what.
Yes.
Just as he was in the Great Depression, World War II, whatever the case.
Or during the time of the early church,
right.
Christians were being burned at the stake, etc.
You'd see still in complete control.
Yes. See, this is where faith trumps sight.
No pun intended.
No. you think that's funny? The point I'm making is trust in the promises overcomes anything that we think is happening. In fact, it's Luther's distinction between the theologian of glory and the theologian of the cross. The theologian of glory looks at his experience to decide God's relationship to him. The theologian of the cross looks to the promises of the Bible to decide.
Unshakable promises.
Yes, unshakable, unmovable. Now, there is no promise that you won't go into foreclosure.
No.
No, none at all. But there is a promise that even if you go into foreclosure, God will not forsake you, that things can work out. He set up, I always like to say, you always look for the ducks that are lined up to, help you through whatever. And that's why the church is really important.
That's right. To give you mutual support in time of need.
Yes. We've got, of course, in our own synod, that mercy is one of the important things, as well as witnessing and so forth. But what is mercy? Mercy has nothing to do with your salvation, but it just so happens that in the life of sanctification, God doesn't need your works, but your neighbor does. And so God actually works through you to help out the neighbor.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's, you remember that passage he says, What have I to do with your sacrifices? The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. Yeah. I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
That's right. That's right. He wasn't going against the ceremonial laws. He was going against the wrong attitude behind them. Namely, like the Pharisees said, I know I'm going to heaven because I give a tithe, I fast, et cetera, et cetera. They used the ceremonial laws as the reason why they were going to be saved. And that's really bad. So when we talk about comfort for our people, we need to be aware that that comfort is available in the here and now. It's just that they're unaware of it.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
I
think a lot of people, like you say, a lot of people think, well, I know someday I'll be in heaven with my Savior. But you're right. It's for the here and now.
Yes. The big word, and it's used in politics a lot, is hope. People will elect people that they think will hopefully give them what they want or give them what they need or do things. So it's just going to be really interesting. But hope isn't the main thing. The main thing is here on earth, what are you going to do about what's going on right now? So what we have here is a promise that he will heed your children's cries in time of need. Now, the word heed and the word hear, yesterday I did a Bible study, and I don't know what you're preaching on, but in First Kings, this is where Elijah raises the widow's...
The boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, after he's hiding in their home. And Elijah prays to the Lord three times.
Right.
And then it says, then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. The point I was making yesterday is you need to be careful. I found four or five words here that do not have the meaning that we normally use. The word hear doesn't mean that God heard.
No.
Because he's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He hears everything. It means that he replied in grace.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like, here's the example I gave. I say to my son when he's 4 or 5 years old, I say, I'm going to the garage. Do not go in the basement. So he goes in the basement. I walk in. I say, where are you, Luther? And he says, I'm in the basement. I said, didn't you hear me? And then he replies, oh, yeah, you told me not to go in the basement. When I say, didn't you hear me, that doesn't refer to what's happening with his ears. It refers to, why aren't you obeying that?
Uh-huh.
And when God, you see, the point I made, God hears the prayers of believers. He never hears the prayers of unbelievers.
Yeah, although, like you say, he knows everything, but you're right. He does not, those are not true prayers.
No. And hearing here means, it's kind of like the word remember.
Yes.
Remember that time you forgot your wife's birthday, and the next day she said, did you forget my birthday? And you said, no, I had it on my mind all day. She's not asking that. By the way, Mark never did forget his wife's birthday. But be that as it may, when you say, do you remember my birthday, you're referring, where's my present?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is really important the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
Do this in remembrance of me doesn't mean I want you to have me in my memory. It means, and I like this translation better, which is accurate, do this in my remembrance of you.
Uh-huh.
That you're actually receiving benefits at the Lord's Supper. It's not your Lord's Supper. So,
hope is another word like that. You know, a lot of people, when they think of hope, they think, well, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. We hope it will, but
ours is
a sure and certain hope.
Excellent, excellent. So, how do you know what the definition is that God wants you to know? You use Scripture, interpret Scripture.
Exactly.
All right. Stanza 4.
And so we come, O Lord, today, and all our woes before you lay. For sorely tried, cast down, we stand, perplexed by fears on every hand.
Now, that's a kind of mixture of law and gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because the law is there that we're sorely tried and perplexed by fears on every side, but we come, O God, today, not on Judgment Day. So we're not looking forward to be comforted when we get before his throne on the day of judgment, although that would be a tremendous comfort. But right now, in fact, it even says that, we come to God today. And all our woes before you lay. I remember in confirmation, a little girl asked me once, can I pray to God for a bicycle? You know, she thought that was so little. And I said, well, would you ever ask your dad for one? Oh, yeah. Well, your heavenly father also needs to hear all your... And when you ask your dad for one, is he going to give you one the next day? Well, maybe not. Well, that's the same with God. He's going to give it to you when you're best suited for it.
That's a good question. Let's pursue that a little bit more. I remember one of the confirmation materials, and I disagreed with this.
Yeah.
They talked about we should not pray for frivolous things.
I can't imagine.
I don't agree with that.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, I think can I pray for my dog who is sick? Of course.
Absolutely. Frivolous, then Jesus wouldn't have asked his father to help feed 5,000 people.
That's right.
That was frivolous.
Yeah. So I don't know. Can you think of anything that you wouldn't want to pray for? I mean, except if it's a God-pleasing, not a God-pleasing thing, right?
Yeah, that's
like
right. So you shouldn't pray for...
enable me to steal from my neighbor or
something. You want to be the valedictorian, but there's a test, and so you pray that your opponent that you're competing with that he fails the test.
Yeah. No, that's right.
But that wouldn't be frivolous.
No.
It would just be sinful.
Right.
Yes. That's why.
How about praying for the outcome of a game, an athletic event?
Oh, I don't have any problem.
You know, we're all thinking about the, sure, the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, well, I'm not that much into football. Okay. Stanza
so
five.
There's nothing wrong with praying for the outcome of a game.
No.
Well, that's the way I feel, too.
And the other thing is, in that prayer, because even the players pray together ahead of time, they pray that,
sure,
they'll be safe and nobody will,
right,
get hurt and this sort of thing. But
right,
at the end of a game, both sides should pray together, because you just don't want to pray and say, thank you, God, for answering my prayer and not, right, his prayer. Because we won. Stanza five. Oh, from our sins, Lord, turn your face, absolve through your boundless grace, be with us in our anguish still, free us at last from every ill. So the first thing we're talking about is our sins. I cannot believe even how many Lutherans you run into who are worried about Judgment Day because of their sins. They don't realize that they're freed from
it. Yeah.
Just ask most Lutherans, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And you know what they use? They use that word that you said, I hope so.
Mm-hmm. It's a sure and certain hope.
No, they don't mean that.
You're right.
No.
They don't. No.
As soon as they put the word,
I hope he forgives me.
Like, I've even changed the prayer before I go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I die, etc.
Yeah.
I've changed it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I know the Lord my soul will keep. Were I to die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take.
Good.
Because it's now absolutely looking at
absolutely
the promises. Final stanza, please.
So we, with all our hearts each day, to you our glad thanksgiving pay. Then walk obedient to your word, and now and ever praise you, Lord.
Yes. Yeah, we all have things in our lives. For example, I had one item that occurred that was real good, and then I had another item that seemed to subtract from that first item. And I don't get upset over it, because they say, well, here's how God works in our lives. Well, why is he doing this? I don't know, but it's still going to work out to my good.
That's right.
So it's trusting those promises. And once more, this hymn is about, we with all our hearts each day to you our glad thanksgiving pay. So even if your house goes into foreclosure, you can still thank God. Now, you should do all you can ahead of time to try and stop that, you know, but that's important to understand. But if it finally goes through, well, that's, you know, people lose their jobs. They can't pay for it. Etc. But walk obedient to your word.
Is this all contingent on whether we walk obedient to his word?
Yes, because what does Jesus say is the obedience of the word? He says, trusting in me,
uh-huh,
believing in my promises. That's, remember, it's not obedient to the laws of the Bible. It's obedient to the word.
The obedience of faith?
No, look at the word.
Then walk obedient to your word. It's Christ.
Yes, yes, it's capitalized.
Capitalized.
Yeah.
That's the eternal word.
To be obedient to Christ means to trust him. And you're going to be talking about that this week. When?
Saturday evening at 5 p.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, just located just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection. Of course, Sunday, our main service, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church of Crestwood. Please join us.
And then I'm going to be at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet at 11 a.m. for a study on prophecies of the Bible. And tomorrow I'm going to talk about that, because I thought there were about 40 or 50. I found over 350. And we're not going to go into too many specific ones, but I'm going to help you understand how there can be so many prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled by Jesus. That's a really important thing to look at. And so tomorrow on Insight Wednesday, we'll be looking at that. Today at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Olivet. If you can't make that, at 7 p.m. at Trinity Orchard Farm on Thursday. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.